Welcome to Career Tools, our guidance on creating a good bluff, part two, our final part. This guidance answers the questions, what is bluff, why is it important, and how do I encourage people to do what I want them to do? Finally, after years of waiting, The Effective Manager in book form is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and your other retail booksellers, as well as signed copies are available on our website, manager-tools.com. If you want to know the basics of how to manage others effectively in book format, including Kindle and ebook format as well, we encourage you to buy, read, and then implement the guidance in The Effective Manager. The second point you made was use verbs, which I love. Verbs are the worker bees, the action hero figures of language. Yes. Right?
So as I was taught, doing words.
Yes, doing words. Making things happen words. Leading good. Words. Yes, good.
So if you want someone to do something, then you're as well to tell them what you want them to do, because otherwise they'll guess, and 9 times out of 10, they'll guess wrong. So if you want someone to review or decide or approve or recommend or proof or advise, anything that you want them to do, meet me. You need to give them the verb that describes what you want them to do.
And here's what you don't do. You don't say, I'd really appreciate your help on this. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, folks, to the high D's of the world, which are more highly populated in management and definitely more highly populated in executive life, what kind of help do you mean? Do you want me to review the document or make a decision? I got to tell you, I get these emails. I know you're busy. Dude, seriously, so do I. You really want to start an email to me with how you feel? That's what you're doing. When you say, I know you're busy, you're saying, I want you, Mark, to understand how I feel. Well, guys, I got to tell you, if I'm in a bad mood, I don't care how you feel. I'm processing email. I'm trying to figure out what you need me to do. People have said, wow, you responded to my email really fast. Yes, because whether you realize it or not, you sent me an email, and in one sentence, I knew what you wanted me to do. And so I did it. Okay? But I'd really like your help on something. That tells me nothing. Look, I suppose it's better than, you know, it at least qualifies your email as there's a deliverable in here, as opposed to just want to say thanks or, hey, hope you're doing well, which, of course, has a deliverable too, because I have to reply. But yeah, the verb. And think about, you know, what does success look like? Is it review? Bless? I told somebody once, chop. And they said, what's that? I said, chop is a military phrase that means approve. Or bless, which also means approve. Or call someone or email someone. Will you please send an email to your friend Joe and ask him whether or not they're going to be there? He doesn't respond to me. That's a different email than, Mark, I've been having trouble getting in touch with your friend Joe. Oh, okay.
Like, what kind of trouble? Do you not? Have you tried emailing him? Did you call? What's the problem? How? There's just so many questions left there. Whereas, will I send an email to my friend? Yes, I will. It'll take me 2.5 seconds.
Yeah. With peers and bosses, of course, you don't have the power to compel them. And so you have to ask. And so, mm-hmm. Would you please is the phrase I love to use. But with a peer, you know, if it was Mike, I'd say, Mike, please call Paul Fagiani and find out whether or not my audio was good last week, period. And then the next paragraph might be, I think I actually messed up. I did this and this and this. And so I need him to give me his thing. If I started that email with, hey, Mike, sorry to tell you this, but last week during the recording, I think maybe my audio wasn't that good. Mike's knowing a story, but he's wondering, why is he telling me this? That's what Mike's saying. So will you please call Paul? He's like, oh, okay, I will, but you could have saved me 30 seconds. And as much as we all deal with email and I don't have enough time to do all my email, why wouldn't you want to save people time and yourself time? And if you don't know what the bluff is when you start writing an email, what that probably would have meant is your email would have been longer than it needed to be and harder to read. Because if you don't know where you're going, it's going to take you longer to get there.
As you said, like most times when we're sending an email and we want someone to do something as a benefit to us. So even if it's just, you know, will you look at this order and see where it's stuck? Will you book this travel? Will you investigate whether or not this conference room is ready? Will you approve my document? You still, there's some benefit to you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be asking. Like, even if it's just your boss, when your boss comes along and says, have you done that? You can say, yes, I asked this other person. With the people that you don't manage, people that aren't your directs, people that are your peers or your boss or your boss's peers, right. If you want them to do something for you, you have to do something other than just tell them, because you don't have any power to compel them to do something for you. You have to be asking. There's a benefit to you, and often there's no benefit to them. And what you're asking them to do is put something that's of benefit to you as a higher priority than the things that they're doing, which is for them, for their own job. So, for example, if I was needing something from Dani and she was presenting, well, presenting is her job and she's there with the audience, she would give that a higher priority than anything I wanted. But if I really needed something from her, I have to do something different than just tell her, hey, I need this done, because she'll just go, yeah, I'm busy, not doing it. So if right. you use the verb so that you tell someone exactly what you want done, part of what you're doing is narrowing down the scope of what you're asking, and you're making it really clear that there's a single task, and you're making it easier for them to do.
I would describe it differently. If you're my peer or you're my direct and you're asking me for something and you're being vague, I'm having to spend more time figuring out what you want me to do. How is that equitable?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't get it at all. I really need your help here, Mark. I don't know what to do. Well, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to read everything you know and then draw a conclusion and then tell you what to do? Or do you want to position it as a recommendation? Do you want me to make a recommendation? Do you want me to review something? Do you want me to edit something? Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's got to be specific. And verbs make things specific,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So if I send Dani a note that says, hey, can you call me? Or can you call, I need something from you. She doesn't know what that is. So she's just going to go, no, I can't do that until the end of the day. Whereas if I send her something specific that says, please tell the hotel lady that she can speak to me on the phone, if, you know, there's some confidentiality thing that means that she doesn't want to talk to me. A, it's about what Dani is doing right now because it's a hotel that she's presenting in. And B, she knows exactly, all she has to do is find that lady and say, hey, you can talk to Wendy. And she knows that it's 2 minutes and she can do it in a break. And it makes her much more willing to go and do it for me.
Yeah, exactly. The example of, please review this document. Review it for what? Information, appropriateness, grammar, spelling errors, bless it that you're okay with it. Yeah, so specificity, one sentence with specificity. Please let me know that this is okay to send out. Right?
Exactly. This is such a big difference, and such a big difference in the likelihood of you actually getting what you want done.
Yeah. Or, hey, I'm having trouble with this. Will you please let me know what you think of this document? So I read it. It takes me 15 minutes to read it. It's fine. Well, what I was really hoping for was whether or not you like that paragraph. Well, why didn't you tell me that?
Exactly. So the next point is include deadlines. And we talked about this in the first part a little bit. If there is a deadline, you have to include it. Because it's not fair to send someone something that says, hey, I need you to do this. And then a day later, send them an email and say, hey, this was urgent. I needed it at 8 o'clock this morning and it's now midday. And you're late on something you never knew had a deadline.
I used to feel bad about those. I don't anymore. I really don't. People are asking me for that kind of stuff all the time. And then they tell me, hey, I really need it now. I said, you know, you didn't tell me that. And unfortunately, my sense of urgency right now is such that I can't get to this. And I hear from people say, I'm really disappointed. You know, I asked you and said, I'm sorry, you haven't learned the lingua franca of the professional world, which is if there's a deadline, you have to be clear about it. And if you tell me there's a deadline of 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and I can't meet the 9 o'clock deadline, I'm going to write back and say, I'm sorry, I can't meet your deadline. And that's appropriate for me to do so that you can go ask somebody else. But if you don't tell me there's a deadline, I say, well, I'll get to it. I have no data to suggest it's more or less important than anything else. Now, if I have 15 minutes today, I'll give it to you. Now, if I find out tomorrow morning that it's due at 8 o'clock and I haven't done those 15 minutes and I now don't have those 15 minutes, I don't feel bad. I used to feel bad and I don't anymore. And as we like to say, deadlines drive behavior. If you want something done, give it a deadline. That's rule number two. Rule number one. And rule number two is you have to tell the person who's doing the work what the deadline is. We make assumptions about what people know and what has been communicated. If it's in your head, they don't know it. You actually have to say it. And even when you say it, they're not going to get it right. If you don't share the deadline, people aren't going to meet it.
Yeah.
Good. And then the next one is, I love this one, include question marks.
Yes. So if your bluff is a question, then create a sentence that ends in a question mark. Because it helps the person know, hey, all I have to answer is this question. Rather than, I don't have to think about this document. I don't have to read. I mean, if it is, please, will you review this and give me the okay to send it? That's still a question. Then you obviously have to review the document, but you do know that your answer can be, it's okay to send.
Right. And, you know, when the example, dinner with client tonight, 6 or 7 p.m., question mark. Okay. I know people who will say, well, I feel uncomfortable sending that. Okay. I'm sorry, but you're not paid to be comfortable. But I'm uncomfortable sending that because, you know, I don't want to force the person to make a decision. Well, if you need the person to make a decision, you're not forcing the decision. And if you say, I'm wondering what time you'd like to have dinner tonight with this particular client. And if I send back any time, and then you tell me, well, actually, they were hoping sometime between 6 and 7. And then I say any time, we're wasting time not making the decision because of inefficient communication. I love question marks. I mentioned the example of that 12-paragraph email I got a number of years ago, and there was only one question mark in it, in the fourth sentence of 5 in the 11th paragraph. Without the question mark, it was just a story. Questions demand, and I don't mean demand in the formal sense, but when I'm asked a question, it's normal in communication for me to understand that I'm supposed to reply. If you say things like, I'd like you to do X, I don't care. I'd like to do a lot of things that I'm not doing, and I'm doing the thing that I'd most like to do based on all kinds of complexities the other person doesn't understand. And I'm not saying that's true because I outrank a lot of people I talk to because of my role. I'm saying it's true for everybody. Everybody has a better understanding of the complexities of their own personal situation. Most of us live our lives inside of our own heads. So if you say, I'd like this, good, you'd like it, but you haven't made it compelling to me. If you say, would you please do X or Y, I can answer you. Mm-hmm. And if you'd say, I'd like you to do this, I can write back and say, thanks, I appreciate it, but I can't. Would you please? I can write back, no, and here's why. And then you can go back and say, have you forgotten that you promised me? Oh, you're right. I've forgotten that. So yeah, I think question marks are grossly underused. Most people who aren't in sales have a bad habit of saying, I'd like you to, or I was hoping you could, or it would mean a lot if you would. Those are not questions. And the fact that you're hoping or it would mean a lot doesn't necessarily elevate it to the point where I have to say yes or no. Would you please do X? No, I'm sorry, I can't.
The one that makes me think of it, that we see a lot is consider. Please, would you consider doing this? Yep, considered it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. Which is very different to, would you be able to do?
Would you be on our podcast?
Yeah, exactly.
Next week at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
No, I can't do 2, but I can do 4.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, consider gets nowhere.
One sentence with a verb and a question mark. That's it.
And we made these question marks, these examples that we have with question marks, as close to binary as possible. So dinner is at 6 or 7, and it just needs a one-word answer, which is what you'll get from Heidi. But if you want fast answers to your questions, you have to make the choices as clear as possible to the people that are going to answer it. If the question isn't clear, you're going to wait longer because they have to think about it more, about, okay, what exactly is the question that I'm being asked, and now what do I think is my answer? And so they're more likely to leave it. And there's something about professional courtesy that says, if you want something from someone else, you have to do most of the work. So you have to have worked out what the question is, and you have to have worked out, hey, there's a number of options and these are the options. You can't just send people stuff that says, hey, consider this.
Yeah, you have to do the work in advance of working out what the possible answers are and then making a suggestion. If you're a customer and you buy something online, it gets delivered to the wrong carrier, and so it's not going to arrive on the day that's promised. And the company can't tell you when it's going to be delivered. When you call them, do you want them to say, well, what do you want us to do? No, they're trying to solve your problem. They should present a range of options. I don't know what options they have, but if they say, we could do A or B or C. C costs more money, but it's faster. A, I can't guarantee it will work, right? You'll say, okay, under the circumstances, I may still be unhappy, but the person's going to ask a question that requires a response. And if somebody says, do you want to do A, B, or C? You want me to do A, B, or C? And the answer back is, well, none of those are palatable to me. You're actually communicating inefficiently yourself, right? I don't like any of those. Okay, well, then we won't do anything at all. Yeah, so I love it. Question marks, verbs, timelines, single sentences. It really is the ultimate bluff, in my opinion.
The ultimate bluff is a beautiful thing.
Now, of course, I've got to go back through 30 or 40 emails that I can think of in the last 3 months that I've sent that I know how to bluff in them and go, okay. How often did I actually do all those things? I think because a lot are to my directs. They're not questions. They're statements. Mm-hmm. I need you to do X by Tuesday at 4. Okay, that's not a question, but it's a function of my role, right?
Yeah, it depends where you are, how often you have to send different ones, but yeah.
Yeah, and I think that even if you're thinking that this sounds a little bit abrupt, and I would respect that if you did, if people said, hey, you know that, sounds a little, ask yourself how often you hear people say how much email they get. It's actually not how much email they get. It's how much time they have to spend on email and how they have to decipher. Part of that is deciphering the email. Why not make your emails to them easier by being crystal clear?
And even if you think this is abrupt, you can still put this at the beginning of the email and then continue with then like,
tell the yeah, story.
Hey, yeah. I really hope you're well. As you read above, this is what's happening. If you want to do all that, and the people that are like me and you that just want to get to the point and do the action, we'll just read the bluff and we won't read the rest.
Exactly. So, summarizing, one sentence, a verb, a deadline, and a question mark. Thanks, Winnie.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Bluff happens to be one of my favorite things. Hope it becomes one of yours as well.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.